What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. Now, the phone lines are not open yet. Please don't call and harass our board op here. We have a guest joining us today, Michael Fulton, and we just sort of traded emails and found out we share a common background. You know, we're both NASA expats, if you will, and he's done some interesting work with optics and optical coatings here. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's great to meet you.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm now 75. I'm a little bit older than you, and
you have my deepest sympathies.
Well, we're both sympathetic, that's for sure, for the others. The main thing is that when I was young, I was 10 years old, Sputnik went over.
Yes.
And you may remember that, but I remember it vividly because I was 10. And I had a crystal rate, you know, a crystal radio set, and I could listen to the pinging. And that was actually a revolution in our society. People didn't sort of realize it, but science became number one. And
yes.
Everybody was doing science. And I loved science, so that was not hard. But my hard part was that I was dyslexic, so I couldn't read. But I sure could build stuff. I just built rockets and all sorts of things. That movie, October Skies, might be reminiscent of that.
I love that movie.
And I had the opportunity to meet Wernher von Braun. My father was in charge of the Bomark missile development program for the Air Force. And at that time, there was no restrictions about us. Him taking me out there to watch. They were launching V-2s from what they got from Germany after the war, and learning how to build their own rockets. And so so I got involved in that. And then I grew up as an Air Force brat, sort of. We went to Canada. My father was in charge of the Pine Tree and Dew Line for the radar lines that were to detect Soviet missiles coming over the top of the globe.
Yep.
And then we moved to California. My father finally retired from the Air Force. By the way, he won the Distinguished Flying Cross during the Second World War, and flew bombers there, and then flew fighters in the Korean War. Interesting fellow in his own right. And then
sounds like it.
Yeah. So we moved to California, and eventually got into Sonoma County while I was going to school, and I was working full time all the way through school, And I they had a company in Santa Rosa, California, called Optical Coating Lab Incorporated. And that was the biggest employer in Sonoma County at the time. And so everybody that was young would probably try to get a job there. So I got a job there, and I became a technician. I had already had 2 years of JC done, and I was working on my BS and BA degrees. And so I worked nights and went to school during the day. And I learned the trade really, really well because I operated coating chambers, and I worked on the originally on the as a technician on the space shuttle windows, Lockheed was the biggest employer in the country in space program, and we made all the solar cell covers for all the satellites, and that's a whole another discussion, and then later I became they were redesigning they were deciding to replace the shuttles, and they put me on the program to do that, and they never did replace the shuttle. During 1980s, when the shuttle was coming along, there's a fellow named Ron McNair who died in the Challenger explosion, and he came and visited us.
I knew somebody on the Challenger as well, Judy Resnick.
Okay, yeah, great. And so, well, you might remember who Ron was, and he came and visited our company, and I gave him a tour of our facility at Ockley, and I was with him for the whole day, and we had many discussions, and I was going to sign up for the civilian space program because of the fact that we had that teacher on the Challenger and all the rest of it coming up.
Yes.
And when that blew up, everything just went really crickets. you know, on that stuff.
Yes.
And and I followed all the investigations. And so at Optical Coating Lab, we were the biggest and the best in the world, and we invented many, many things. And I involved in some serious inventions there myself later on. But optical coatings are interesting technology, and that's where you will alternate high refractive index and low refractive index materials in a vacuum chamber. You evaporate them up, and then you deposit the layers in terms of nanometers. If you had a meter stick or yardstick, if you will, and you cut it into a billion slices, that's how thick our coatings were measured in. Was in nanometers.
Yes.
In order to control the wavelength of light. So we made anti-reflection coatings, and anti-reflection coatings are very interesting. They're all around everywhere. If you look up somebody on a TV stage, a program or a movie, and you'll see this green reflection coming off their glasses.
Yes,
that's a marketing tool for the shuttle, and also for this later on for the space station windows. Our ARs show no color. And so that's a marketing tool to indicate that there is a coating on this lens. And so that's a very interesting thing. People probably don't know that. They think that has designed into the coating. And so, and I don't want to get into all the math. There's no point in that. But I think that we make these anti-reflection coatings, and it reduces the reflection on the surface of a substrate, say glass. Has a refractive index of 1.52, and that's a refractive index is a relative speed of light traveling through a medium, the ratio, and air is zero, it has zero impact on the speed, and so that's an index of one. So air is one, and glass is 1.52. So when you see a regular pane of glass, you'll notice it has you'll see a reflection coming off of it. Both surfaces are reflecting about 4.25%. And so we can put a coating down that will take that reflection down to nearly zero by adjusting the interference pattern of the coating that goes down in the visible. And so that was a very important development. And that occurred originally, just a single layer of magnesium fluoride was used on all the early optics. And then later on at Oakley, it was developed this high-efficiency anti-reflection coatings. And then later on, I was working in the infrared as well as in the visible, and I developed a thing called ion-assist deposition. We can go into that a little later. But the main thing is that
Mike, I don't want to get too technical because I think we're going to turn off a lot of our listeners. I think they really would rather hear more of the historical stuff about, your father being a World War II aviation hero and, working on these various projects. I don't want to get caught up in the technical. I mean, I find it very interesting. I've got, a lot of optics here with some very complex coatings on them. But getting on back to the early days of the space program, you and I were both born at a time when the only man-made objects that had ever left Earth's atmosphere were the V-2 rockets on the way from Germany to Great Britain. And everything that we think about the space program, Sputnik, Vanguard, Explorer, all happened during our lifetime. I mean, we were born at a time when most people really thought there was an advanced civilization on Mars because Schiaparelli had seen these, what he thought were canals on the surface. And, I remember when that first Mariner flight went past Mars and revealed it looked more like the moon than the Earth, and everybody was going, "Oh, shucks," And it was a disappointment. But, it's been kind of fascinating to watch it happen. And, I think it really was the turn of an epic, if you will.
Right, it was. And it was amazing. And so I had an opportunity to do a lot of programs. And one of them was, I actually was independent of Optical Coating Lab. And NASA called me up saying that Optical Coating Lab no longer would do the space station windows. And that's who they had planned for. And so they called me up and I said, I'll do them. And so I was involved with a small company and I revamped the whole, these vacuum chambers are big. that
they are.
These windows into to evaporate the materials onto the substrate. And people don't realize it, but the space station windows actually has four panes of glass. It's not glass, it's fusilica. They have a debris pane, two pressure panes, and the inside pane. And the inside pane is the one that's really special. We put anti-reflection coatings on all of those surfaces. If you don't, you got four surfaces, you know, that are doing reflection, and you can't take a picture. And so,
yes.
So I designed the coating, and the whole thing. I was in charge of the whole deal. And we had, and if you go onto the space station website and look up cupola, and that's where there's observation tower, but they have a 29-inch window over the top, and then trapezoids around the outside.
I remember the cupola, and the reason is, after I left NASA, I worked in the motion picture industry, and one of the movies I worked on was called Final Fantasy, and it had a segment on a space station that had a cupola-like window. This was before the real space station had one, and so when the space station got its cupola, you know, all of us old Squareheads, the company was called Square USA. We were all celebrating. We had it first.
There you go. Yeah, and I was down when they were assembling the station down in Huntsville. And and I met a lot of the astronauts. And then later on, I met them after they got launched. And they said that was the best thing on the station. Everybody wanted to go up into the cupola. But the inside pane is what's really interesting. Not only does it have an anti-reflection coating, but you also include what's called a transparent conductive oxide, and we put a little electric current to it so the window doesn't fog up. And then on the other side...
Yeah, I could see where that would definitely be helpful.
Yeah, on the inside of the inside pane, we had a Lexan layer that we also put an anti-reflection coating on, so if anybody threw a wrench around in the cabin, it wouldn't chip the glass and make that float around. So that was a very interesting project, the whole thing was.
Yes.
Another project that I worked on was the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter was put up, and I did the hyperspectral filter for that when I was at the Rockwell Science Center. And what that did was to look at the surface of Mars, and through the mineralization deposits on the surface, we get an absorption spectrum through this filter, and we can determine what was most likely to be a water rich area. And that was part of the site selection for the Curiosity, which was launched later, you know, Curiosity. And I was invited to JPL, and I gave a speech on the reconnaissance orbiter, and then I was invited for the whole landing of that Curiosity craft, and that was interesting. That was 17.
Well, I must have seen you on TV because I was glued to the TV set watching that watching that landing.
I was in the audience
and
yelling.
Say again.
I was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was.
But you know, I know what those guys were going through, and you know, one of the good things about our space program is it does provide something that this country is doing that we can feel good about, we can feel proud about. I remember back during the 60s, during the heyday of Apollo and everything, we were dealing with race riots in the country, we were dealing with whole bunches of assassinations going on, the war in Vietnam, and, you know, then Apollo 8 circumnavigated the moon, and everybody just took this deep breath and said, okay, this wasn't that bad a year. And right now, I'm glad that NASA is getting back on out there, because I think Americans do need that again, something that we can feel really good about, really proud about. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, I know Elon Musk wants to go to Mars, and space is becoming privatized. I mean, Virgin Galactic had that wonderful test flight yesterday. I just hope that they're going to be a little bit more careful and learn the lesson from the recklessness of that Titan submersible that was crushed trying to visit the Titanic, because there were some serious engineering shortcomings in that design.
There's no doubt about it, and I agree with you on the graphene type materials. Yes,
Yes.
The other thing was that the other thing was that, of course, we ran into the James Webb era. And I
yes.
know that I think you've probably been following it as I have. And
yes.
and they found these spurious, interesting galaxies out there, way beyond where they thought the universe edge was. You know.
Well, and, you know, I'm somebody who does not subscribe to the theory of the Big Bang.
I
think there's something else going on. And you know, I even have an article at my. You know, I'll send you the article after the show here. You may find it interesting.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see it. Yeah, and I agree with you. I never liked the Big Bang. You know, I studied quantum physics. I studied all this stuff, and I couldn't get my head around that being actually true. But I don't necessarily have an alternate theory. I'm just telling you, I don't think that was a thing that happened. This whole redshift and this background radiation, all the things they're talking about. I don't know, and then you cook up the idea of dark matter and dark energy to explain some of the inconsistencies.
Epicycles. It's like epicycles to try and explain why the geocentric model of the universe didn't work.
Exactly. And so those are the things that really are exciting to me is stretching the imagination into how this all went together, and I have. There's a lot of people who are now looking at this James Webb data and saying, "Wait a minute, you know, this Big Bang is not going to fly, at least as a total theory, you know." And
yep.
So it's really interesting. And so when you're working on this technology that goes up into space, it's really you don't even realize what you're doing almost because you've been doing it for so long, but it's really just a wonderful feeling to know I still got stuff up there, you know, that I've worked on for all my, you know, for my
yeah,
entire
me too.
Career. I know,
yep.
and you know how that feels. That feels great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I wanted to kind of share with you, this mutual excitement. I know that I looked at the Viking stuff again. I haven't looked at it for a while, and I looked at it again, and the Levin experiment and all the rest of it. I know that you were heavily involved.
Yeah.
I heard you talk about it.
Well, sadly, he passed away a short time ago.
Yeah. Well, you had him on the show one time and talking. And
I had him on the show. I also got him hooked up with a show on the History Channel. And, you know, I wish that he had been vindicated during his lifetime. But, you know, he was convinced, and I'm convinced. I've looked at the data myself. And I think that there were reasons why, political reasons why they didn't want to say, yes, we found life on Mars. And especially if you look at what's going on now with the global warming and the COVID vaccines, about how politics is trumping actual science. And you begin to understand that, you know, a lot of stuff is being hidden out of concern of its political ramifications. You know, if the people of planet Earth knew beyond all shadow of a doubt that there was life out there in the universe, we might put down our weapons of war and unite together and say, hey, let's see who else is out there. And that would be a loss for the people who profit from having us kill each other.
Yeah, there seems to be a huge population of those people, unfortunately. My gosh.
Way too many of them, you know.
Yeah. And you know, it's I've unfortunately... most of my work is with the space program, but I have had opportunity that I don't particularly care about of working on some of the defense systems too, you know, and because optical coatings are heavily involved in those, and so it's one of the things you have to, you know, I lived for the space stuff, and I mostly did that, but once in a while you had to you know do something else, and it always made me feel a little bit. I don't know, uneasy. But one of the good things that I personally did as well besides the space stuff is the laser eye protection for pilots.
Okay, Mike, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll
okay.
be right back.
Einstein once said, Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And welcome back to our show here. We're finishing up here with Michael Fulton and fellow space cadet, rocket scientist, whatever you want to call it. And any other thrilling adventures you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Oh, I have so many that it's hard to recall them all. But something people might find very interesting, I also was working on night vision equipment.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one of the early versions of that, generation 1, 2, so forth, you had to block out the entire visible and then transmit the IR, okay,
mm-hmm,
the infrared. Well,
yes,
pilots couldn't see their instrument panels. And so developed a thing called leaky green, which had a small transmission at the phosphorus 542 wavelength to green, so the pilots could then use night vision. And that was I've talked to many of the military pilots over the years, and they thought that was one of the best things that ever happened. And they could start using the night vision goggles that way. And that was very interesting. I've had the opportunity to live and travel the world, and
yeah,
like you, I know you did a lot of work in Europe and so forth, and
mm-hmm,
and I lived in Singapore for 5 years, and where I developed with the group at Nanyang Technological University advanced cathodic arc technology for putting down very hard films at room temperature, not diamond-like carbon. And this is a, and I've adapted that to the big machines. I think I sent you a paper on that.
Yes, I read those.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about there. And so for your audience, you could realize that a coating that this is hard as diamond, or nearly as hard, as you put down at room temperature, because all they make diamond coatings with what's called CVD processes, but they're at 600 degrees C. And we can put this coating down at room temperature. And that was a big breakthrough. That's how we had contracts with the disc manufacturers, Seagate and the rest of them in Singapore at the time. And that equipment is used to put down the diamond-like carbon overcoating on the hard drives. You hardly hear about a hard drive failure anymore. Because coating goes
on. Yeah, that's definitely true.
And that is because we put this diamond-like carbon coating with the cathodic arc on to disc as well as the heads. And so that was a very powerful improvement for them. And it sure is taking the risk of...
Well, I mean, the heads don't actually contact the disc. I mean, there's a thin layer of air between them.
Yeah, but that's true. But when they test these discs, they do what's called 10,000 start stops with a head.
Okay.
And with the coating, this coating went through 30,000 star stops and would have kept on going for nearly forever. And that was a big breakthrough. That was with a standard head. We put a coating on the head, too, to give it additional protection because the heads do have to come to rest, you know. And then they are very close to the disc, but they're not touching it when it's actually running. But if they do, it destroys the head as well as the disc at times in the old days.
Yes.
Nowadays, we're very, very confident in having our hard drives not – I have a whole – bucket of bad hard drives back here from the old days, and you probably do too. It's really a major breakthrough, and I was in charge of the setting up a research lab in Singapore, and we researched optical coatings using ion assist is what I actually put into production in the 80s to do the space station windows and so forth, and that's how we did those so well, because we made a very hard coating with a device, not the arc, but an ion assist.
Well,
and
if I recall correctly, there's only ever been one incident where one of the windows on the space shuttle suffered an impact. They think it was just a fleck of paint or something, but there was no loss of air pressure. It didn't penetrate all the way in there. Anyway, Michael, you've had an amazing career. You've seen a lot of history, which is what happens when you're alive as long as we are. And you've been a part of history.
Sure.
So, I imagine you're very, very proud of what you've done.
Oh, I am proud of it, and I'm still doing it. I'm still working on laser eye protection, so I haven't quit.
Good for you.
And you haven't quit yet either, so that's good.
I feel very privileged. On the end of the segment, do you have a website or something you want to share with our listeners?
I'll give you a real quick joke on that. I had a website called imbeamoptics.com, and I forgot to renew it when I was moving up to Washington, and that got stolen by the Chinese. It's now a porn site. So the only way you can... I had a laugh.
Yeah,
over
I've
that
got
too.
A lot of websites that are based on slight spelling errors of whatreallyhappened.com that are also
really
porn sites. Anyway, Mike, we're out
so
of time
LinkedIn.
Here. We need
I'm
to see.
I'm on LinkedIn and I'm also on Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. And we're going to take a break for commercials. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252.
Thank you, Mike.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And welcome back to our show here. And we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. And Mike Fulton is still on the line if you have a question for him. And right now we're going to go to Mike in Kentucky, who might just have one of those questions. So, boy, we got a lot of mics. We've got this mic. We've got Mike Fulton. We've got Mike in the control room. Now we've got Mike in Kentucky. It's time to start issuing license plates. So, Mike in Kentucky, what's on your mind?
Well, I joined that, and I have no association with NASA or whatever, but there's a nice Facebook group or page, I can't remember which it is. It's always posting all this neat stuff about the vehicle assembly building, the VAB, they call it. And it's
yes.
It's got all kinds of pictures of historic events and anniversaries and, of course, what they're currently working on. So that's a good one. You know, if you're fooling around on Facebook, you might as well find something interesting. But, of course, I don't see a lot of the stuff that I've signed up for on there. It's like it's rigged. I tried to use it early on, 10 or 12 years ago, as a wire service, signing up for, you know, local police, fire, and highways and stuff like that, city government, and I see none of it in my feed. So,
well, I got kicked off of Facebook a long time ago, so I don't mess with them. But, you know, over on Twitter, you know, you can basically find the Twitter feeds for your local police authority. I've got you know, local news sources and weather and police and everything in my Twitter feed.
It's just really aggravating because other people see stuff and they'll tell me about it. Did you see that? And I'm like, no, and I've liked it and see-firsted it and all that. The other thing I was going to mention is all this stupid smoke. I've got a friend down in Texas that's dealing with it because he had COVID and his lungs are scarred. And I've known, and I guess the science has been out since the mid-1980s, that you can do a few tricks to increase your gas exchange in your lungs. Sports medicine figured it out that it was zinc. Zinc helps the red blood cells do gas exchange. So how do you get zinc inside your cells? Well, I think quercetin helps, but also dark chocolate. If you like coffee, it's good with coffee. Or black tea and maybe carrot juice, things like that. Anti-inflammatory. But a biggie is pineapple juice not from concentrate, and I can't figure out why. But even the old Family Dollar store used to sell Dole brand and not from concentrate in the cans. But when they concentrate the juice, it destroys that enzyme. It's called bromelain. And that also helps with lung inflammation and gas exchange. So anybody that's dealing with this smoke out there, whatever you call that, hypoxia or silent hypoxia, or if you just want to do it for, you know, improve your own athletic performance, you know, there's tricks that a lot of people aren't told about. You know, you go to the doctor, the whatever, ear, nose, lung and throat specialist, and they want to sell you a bunch of medicine. So nature's got a lot of solutions, as one guy I know who's a real devout Christian, he says, God's not stupid, you know. But the planet, you know, the planet we live on, it has solutions if we know where to look and how to do that. But in any event, I just thought I'd offer a few tips because this guy's showed up on my Facebook feed and made me think of that stuff.
Well, we're kind of lucky here because we had a lot of rain the last couple of days. Supposedly, we have another thunderstorm coming in tonight, and it's pretty much cleaned all the smoke out of the air. So today was, you know, a lot better than it was earlier in the week.
And not over here in Eastern Kentucky, man. A lot of people thought it was fog this morning, but, hopefully something will happen up there to knock those down in Canada and get this over with. All right. Well, thanks for taking
my call. All righty. Well, thank you very much for the phone call here. And we have open lines, 512-248-8252. And Mike Fulton, we do have a caller on the line who's going to be asking you a question. Before we get to him, though, we need to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Tom in Florida. Are you there? All right, let's skip over Tom in Florida and go to Joe in Alaska. Joe, I know you have a question for Mike Fulton. Take it away.
Yeah, Dr. Fulton.
Yes.
Do you know who the project officer on the Dew Line was? It was also the commander of the Ptarmigan Squadron out of Eielson in Alaska.
No, you must remember, this was in, and my father was involved in LAT back in 1960, and I was, and there was so much secrecy on it. I used to go out to the Air Force bases when he was in the Air Force, on the bases, and sit in the airplanes and do all that stuff, but I never saw where he worked at all. It was so secret. So I don't have any information on anybody else. I know that he worked on it. That's all I know. And we were up there for 3 years, and it was a great experience personally. You know, learned to ice skate, play hockey, and all that stuff. But I didn't know anybody. So I'm sorry I can't help you there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's nothing to be sorry about. Just
I've been to Alert. I've been to Thule, and I was on Ice Station T3. And this has all to do with my father because, at 69, I'm also an Air Force brat, roughly the same, epoch as you, both of you, Mike's there. Anyway, I was just curious. I'll let you go. Thanks. Go ahead. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. And Tom in Florida is back. Hello, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, what's good day, Mike? What's on my mind is how's this diversity working out in France? Mike, how's diversity working out
well,
in that country of France?
Well, it all depends on who you ask here, but I mean, it looks like it's already a race war, and it could turn into an outright civil war. The police are hopelessly outnumbered. I'll bet you that Macron is already onto the phone to the Wagner group to ask for their help, and he may ultimately be forced to call out the army.
Well, Mike, you know, we got this bumbling buffoon over here, this dirty Irishman in here, saying that diversity is our strength. He's a liar. He's been lying about everything. Supreme Court shot down the college admissions for minorities. They shot down the student debt loan. They're going to have to pay back their money that they borrowed. I mean, the Supreme Court makes some great decisions. They're not making the major decisions that it needs to do at the border. So that's going to be coming up soon now, too. But here, Mike, let's go back. Guy named Colin Hilton. Colin Hilton, Mike. Have you ever seen this gentleman? You need to get him on your show if you could. He's a historian.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, his name is Colin Hilton. He's talking about the Irish slave trade before the blacks came here. They were bringing thousands of Irish over here as slaves. Thousands of white Irish slaves were coming in here. And this was coming to the United States and St. Kitts and the islands on the Caribbean islands. I didn't realize that a lot of Irish actually went to Jamaica. A lot of Irish went to Jamaica, St. Kitts, and a lot of them went to, of course, Massachusetts and in the northern part of the United States. And there was literally thousands and thousands of Irish 10 years before they started bringing the 1619 slaves in here. This was happening around 1610, 1612, and they started bringing Irish slaves in here. We never were taught that in high school. They've been lying to us about everything about the slave issue. The whole thing is that they want reparations. Well, I want reparations, Mike. I want reparations for my family going to war since the Civil War. I want reparations for my family. My two brothers went to Vietnam, my father, my uncles, all my family, okay? Where's my reparations? Where's the reparations for the Union soldiers and the Southern soldiers that fought the Civil War, Mike? Where's their reparations? Where's all the reparations for all these white people that have been paying taxes since the Social Security started out? And we're building, paying for all the roads and everything in this country. We get $2 million. How's that? Every white Caucasian in the United States should be getting $2 million. That's what I propose.
Well, it would be nice, you know, but in any event, you know, this reparations thing is never really going to happen anyway. You know, I'm hoping that Democrats learned an important lesson today, that Biden is making promises about things like student loan forgiveness that he's just not going to keep. You know, he'll bring it up election season to get their votes. He suckered them in 2022, and here we are the next year, and they says, oh, well, the Supreme Court says I can't do it, but thanks for the votes anyway.
Exactly, exactly. And, Mike, this thing they used last election about abortion, hey, the most babies that are being aborted right now by women are black women. Black women are aborting the babies all more than white.
Well, believe it or not, that was Margaret Sanger's objective in starting Planned Parenthood, was to basically reduce the black population in this country.
And that's why Hillary accepted a big award for Margaret Sanger. Hillary was like, that was the greatest award she ever got, accepted an award for Margaret Sanger. Hillary Clinton and the whole Democratic Party. Kamala Harris was there that day. Kamala Harris was there that day that Hillary got that award. And she's Vice President of the United States. And the black people loved her? They loved Kamala Harris, the blacks in this country? I wish a black a listener would call in and refute me. I would love it. I would love to debate them because, no, thing is a giant, filthy cabal. And, you know, I know you got other stuff you're talking about, all this other great stuff, but, you know, to me, Mike, the racial issue ain't going away anytime soon. And, you know, Marco made I wanted Marco to know something, too. I wasn't ranting. I was raging. That day I called your show. I wasn't ranting. I don't rant, Marco. I rage. I rage about the law.
Okay, Tom, there's something wrong with your phone because you keep cutting in and out. In fact, you seem to be out now. We lost Tom again. All righty. Well, we have, the phone lines are all open now, 512-248-8252. And I'm going to start reading some news until we get some more callers here. And once again, I want to thank Mike Fulton for spending time with us today. He's had a fascinating, amazing career. And I look forward to communicating with you and corresponding with you, as it were, and talking about some of this high technology stuff. So let's see. Getting into ClimateGate, and they're still out there trying to, claim that the world is going to end if we don't pay a carbon. Oh, let's see. Tom is back. All right. All right. Let's go back to Tom. And Tom, hopefully we'll keep a connection this time. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I'll finish this up. I just want Mark, I know he's a great caller, but I wasn't ranting. I was the raging, you know, how I feel about, you know, what's going on in our country. But I think our country's going to be saved, Mike. I'm an optimist. I think some great things are going to happen here in the next 18 months. I'm still worried about China invading Taiwan. I think that's the linchpin to destroy the whole world. But if that doesn't happen, God willing, it doesn't. I think a lot of good things are happening. I think Trump's going to be, I think he's going to escape all this nonsense they put on him, like he's been doing for the last 5-6 years. And I think Trump's going to come back like Grover Cleveland. And I think Trump's going to be the president of the United States in 2024. And I think he might pick a guy like that.
Well, I would like to see it happen, but I think the deep state is so terrified of Donald Trump. If it looks like he's even going to get close to the nomination, they may take him out the way they did Robert Kennedy Sr.
Well, I think Trump may have to make a major decision real quick, Mike. I think he's either got to come out and say he'll pick Tim Scott as his running mate, or a female, a white female, like Tenney, Claudia Tenney, or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Trump's got to make a major decision here, I believe, in the next 2-3 months, where he's going to have to say, you know what, if I get the nominee, I'm going to pick Tim Scott as my VP, or a female, which is probably Marjorie Greene, or a Tenney, a Claudia Tenney, or something like that. He's going to have to make that move soon. He can't be diddly-daddling with that, because, of course, Ron DeSantis needs to stay right where he's at for another 4 years, because Ron DeSantis is doing a lot of good, Mike, in the state of Florida. He really is.
Yes, he is.
I believe he's doing a lot of great things here. And he's kicking the butt on these woke monsters that we got in there, these demons, the demon seed. So I think Ron DeSantis needs to stay back where he's at, wait 4 years, his turn, and then when his 2028 comes up, he takes the presidency. But right now, Trump either has to pick Tim Scott, or he has to pick a female, and he has to do it quickly. He has to make a decision on that. And I hope somebody's in their campaigns listening to that. And also, Mike, I got to go back to France, Mike. France is annihilated. They had a chance to elect Marine Le Pen. They picked this Macron who's staying out with Elton John partying all night. Elton John, Mike?
Well,
Elton
we don't
John
know
Macron
that,
are partying.
You know, we don't know that the French elections are any more honest and trustworthy than ours.
Well, go figure, Mike. He's out with Elton John and the country's burning down.
Well, he did come back to Paris and start holding emergency meetings, but I think it's too little too late. I mean, the situation is clearly out of control. The riots are across the border into Belgium. There's concern it's going to start up in the Netherlands and even Germany. Anyway, Tom,
yeah, that's crazy.
Got to let you
have
go here. We've got more callers on the line. So, Bruce in Texas, welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Mike Fulton?
Hey, Mike. You have a great guest on today. Is he still there?
Still here, yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to pass it on. If he's not, he can probably catch it later. But I appreciate his information. It's very, he got very technical there with the optical coatings. But these are all, byproducts of the space race. And I know I've brought it up before, but tell me, how do we come up with all this stuff, the technology, the computerized systems, the rocket building, and everything associated with space travel? And you have people who profess, and they're the most white racist people on the, on the call-in shows, that say that, you know, space is fake and Apollo is fake, and I would like to hear a debate on that.
The landing sites for the Apollo have been imaged by satellites, some of which are owned by countries that don't really like us and would not go along with a hoax. And I think all this talk about fake Apollo landing is a deliberate propaganda attempt to make the alternative media look kooky. I mean, you're seeing all this flat earth nonsense all over social media. It's being done to try and lure people back to the corporate media propagandists. It's failing miserably, but I think that's where this is all coming from.
All right. Yeah. And also, it belittles our achievements, in my eyes.
You know, yeah, it does.
It's an insult. Yeah. And I guess that's why it pushes my button. You know, Wernher von Braun, you know, and JFK there. Don't tell me they're all up to, you know, oh, we're going to just fool the entire world by faking a space exploration. I mean, come on. It's nuts.
Okay, well, Bruce, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. This is our last commercial break of the show, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show, last segment of our program on this Powhana Friday, and we still have open lines, 512-248-8252. Now, we're heading into a holiday weekend. I'd like you all to be safe and sane, and especially with the handling of fireworks every year. It seems that some people get really maybe a little too drunk or just a little too careless, and they hurt themselves. So please be very careful about that. So I'm taking the long weekend off, and I'll be back on the air on Wednesday, and hope to see you all back here at that particular point. And I was just checking on social media. The situation in Paris, in France, is just it's starting up again. It's going to be another night of fires and looting, and yeah, this does not look to be calming down. I think Macron's going to have to bring in the army. He's going to have to declare a state of national emergency. The police, even with 45,000 police out there spread across the country, because this is happening all over the country, it's not enough. They're outnumbered, and the rioters have broken into gun stores. They are now armed. There have been reports of actual exchange of gunfire between police and the rioters. So this is a very, very ugly, unhappy situation. So let's see. Mike Fulton, I'm going to bring you back on the air here to kind of close out the show with me. And, you know, we did have that one call that came on in and said they found the technical information about the coatings to be very, very interesting. And having made a few telescopes in my day, I understand about vacuum deposition, for aluminum for mirrors and quartz overcoat and so forth. But obviously what you've done is far more sophisticated. In the realm of basically, I think it's called dichroic filtration.
Oh, that's one of the things. Also, I want to bring up one thing that we didn't talk about, and that was the Kepler mission.
The Kepler
had a 1.4 meter diameter mirror, and it had to be we had to protect it silver, and it had the same reflection as unprotected silver. Now, it was very difficult to do. I know it included in that paper I sent you. But
yes,
that was amazing. They were only looking at a 15-degree aperture into the Milky Way, and they discovered at least 3,000 planets. And now the consensus among the astronomical community is that there are more planets in the Milky Way than there are stars. And
I think it's pretty obvious that stars are part of the stellar formation, that all stars will have planets, left over from the debris out of which they're built. Maybe not so much the population two stars, but definitely the population one.
Right. And that's what is, I found that extremely exciting when I was involved in that, because I actually consulted earlier for the Keck Observatory people. That's the ones that, that are based in
the Big Island, Hawaii.
Yeah, no, that they are also in Hawaii.
Yeah, I've been up to that observatory. Been to that observatory.
University of...
Okay, well, Mike, the music is playing. The show is over. Thank you again for spending time with us today. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Mike Gaddy is taking the microphone tonight. And spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please financially support us. We need it at this time. Have a safe holiday weekend. We'll be back on Wednesday. Aloha, America.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.